Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady of the Holy Name of God, pray for us. St. Thomas,
pray for us.
All our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. So I want to reiterate what Tom was talking about to help to transmit the faith to future generations. And again, thank you, Tom, for having me. And for all of you coming here, operational costs for stations, that's what you're donating for, is to keep transmitting the faith. And being a benefactor of someone that can hear about the saving truths of our Lord, that'll go well with you at your particular judgment. And then as Tom said, he's trying to acquire some commercial buildings and a studio. I couldn't believe it when I called him and saw him on the video. He was down in his basement. So it's nice to take this to the next generation with your support. And, of course, just a reminder, I'll be getting my Ritual Romanum to bless objects after I do the book signing this evening. So before I go into the body of my talk, I want to give a warning. The devotion to the Holy Face is not for the faint-hearted. If God is calling you to get into this devotion, I recommend that you acquiesce to his invitation. Because suffering is the currency that God has given to us for holiness. And so I hear the stories so many times from different people about things that happened. So my story yesterday, I was in Cedar Rapids. And I saw on my phone that there was a lot of red up in front of me. I'm like, okay, that means there's a lot of traffic that stopped. And I saw it coming, and then I saw this young man looking at his phone right next to me. And I see the cars in front of me stopped, and I'm stopping. I'm like, this guy's not stopping. And he just runs into everybody. And he hits that car and the car after him. And then he comes spinning right around in front of me. And then my guardian angel helped me move by 1 foot. I didn't hit him. And I went over there to see if he was okay because I wanted to give the last rites. He had a bloody nose. Then there was the other two people and the other cars. And they said, oh, we're okay. So I thought, wow, I scraped this one. So I'll be coming to this talk tonight. And I had to go and scrape all the debris off the road because I was in a position to get out of there. And there was cars backed up probably for an hour because it was going to take a while. So things happen in this devotion. And I didn't know it until today, but Kathy Hills is one of our arch captains. She was asking my mother and all our people to pray because I did a 10-minute video today on what could be a bonus for a movie that's coming out called The Holy Face. And so those prayers also were used for yesterday for my guardian angel because St. Francis of Assisi, I think it's him or somebody else, some other saint, says that they think when a man becomes a priest, he doesn't have one guardian angel, but he has two. And I wonder how many a bishop gets and a pope. So I don't know. So what is the devotion to the Holy Face? I became a member of the Arch Confraternity of the Holy Face on July the 4th, 2018. And then in the year 2019, I almost died from stress. I was forming a community of men called the Canons Regular of St. Martin, but God did not want me to do that. And later I found out I had alpha-gal, which is a new tick disease, sort of like, what's that disease that, yes. And I couldn't eat beef, I couldn't eat eggs, I couldn't eat pork for about 5 or 6 years, and then mom started making some yogurt that has these probiotics in it, and now I can eat those things. And anyways, this devotion almost killed me. So I hope I'm in sales, but I hope I'm not scaring anybody. But I want you to see that every time we go to Mass, it should prepare us more for death. Because for the saints, death is birth into new life. And so I had to convalesce for 3.5 years at the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles. And I'll tell you more about Sister Wilhelmina. I was her chaplain. She was incorrupt. I'll tell you more about her and her devotion to the Holy Face. And so I decided I'm going to read the Bible from front to back. And I'm a member of the Holy Face. And then all the things of the Holy Face started jumping out at me. And so that's the fruit of this talk. And so I read this in Leviticus 26, verse 8. Quote, 5 of yours shall pursue 100 others, and 100 of you 10,000. Your enemy shall fall before you by the sword. That's the inerrant word of God. And I was a numbers guy. I was in investments before I became a seminarian. I was helping to manage $400 million. And I saw these numbers. 5 pursue 100. 100 pursue 10,000. So the point to me is, it only takes a few good men and women to overcome many evil men. And so what does that look like for a world of 7 billion people? So let's look at the ratios again. 1 to 20, 1 to 100. Those of you that are horse race bettors or dog track, I don't do that, but my dad always looked at these 1:5, you know, odds. What does it look like for a million people? So what we have here, I'm glad I'm more in the north now. In Louisiana, this doesn't work as well, but think of a hockey stick. The blade is flat until you get to the handle, and then it starts to curve up. And so what's happening here is that when a few good people start to fight these spiritual battles, then God starts to intervene more. And so that looks like 1:7,000. So if you do a little bit of fractional math and a little bit of calculus for the curve, I made up this number, 1 million people to bring the conversion of 7 billion in the world. I'm all about the conversion of people because I don't want anyone to go to hell. And I told my Bishop Kimmy this. I said, Bishop Kimmy, I walk the streets because I don't want anyone to go to hell. And he says a lot of people are acting, though, that they're not going to go to heaven. I know. And so we as the Catholic Church, we have the faith, and it's our job not to get to heaven alone, but to bring people with us. And so that's why I wrote this book, The Secret of the Holy Face, A Devotion Destined to Save Society, and I put in here how I want 1 million people to enroll in this devotion. 1 million people. And what does Leviticus 26 continue to say? It's God says, if you follow my commands, I'll give you my blessing, but otherwise I'm going to curse you. And so in this devotion, Jesus told Sister Mary St. Pierre, you're not following the first 3 commandments. And when I was in the seminary, I started to think, there's something going wrong with the Catholic Church right now, and I can't put my finger on it. But I read a book called Revolution, Counter-Revolution by Professor Plinio, and a lot of answers came there, but this devotion just capped it off. We have to start obeying the commandments of God, and we can't just say what we think God wants. That's called immanentism. What's imminently in me is the truth, but that's not right. And a lot of people in the streets tell me what they think God is, but that's not. God reveals himself to us, just like Harrison Bunker, the football kicker for the Chiefs, said God is into the details. In Numbers, he talks about how he wants to be worshipped, very specifically, cubits and all these different. So the traditional Latin Mass is a big part of my spirituality and how the enemy's trying to take that away from us. And so, what are the sins of the first 3 commandments? Idolatry, blasphemy, and irreverence. And what happens when our human race of 7 billion people continues to turn their back on God? This is what God's going to do. Quote, I will set my face against you. You shall fall down by your enemies. That's from Leviticus. And so that looks like 2020 to me, because I wrote this around that time. You shall fall down by your enemies. Your church doors will be locked. Your priests will be taken away. And that's a question. Can God take away our religion? Yes, he can. But he does it for a greater good. To make us wake up. To punish. It's like a little child that's crying so hard it can't even breathe. That a good father will spank it just below the little backside. And so that way it'll stop screaming and it can breathe again because it forgets to breathe. And that's what's happening to the human race right now is we've lost track of who God is. And so this devotion is about giving back to God his rights. And we look at irreverence. Think of the golden calf. Aaron, Moses was getting the Ten Commandments and he heard the revelry and he threw them down on the side of the mountain. And what happened is God commanded that whoever was in charge would be killed. And who did that? The Levitical tribe. And they became the priests. Because they stood up for the rights of God. Think of Uzzah. Uzzah was not a consecrated priest. He did not have holy hands. He was not allowed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And so when the oxen were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, it was kicked on accident. And it was leaning over a little bit. So Uzzah thought he was going to do something good. So he put it back in place. He was struck dead. Because he was not supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And so that's happening in our sanctuaries right now. Consecrated hands normally should only be touching the holy sacrament of the altar. Let's give God back his rights. And then you'll get a flood of men that want to become priests. We won't have a vocational crisis. What we do in the sanctuary determines what happens in the world. The Mass is the source and summit of our faith. And if we start to follow the three commandments, and just a few of us, if it's just a million good Catholics, it'll change the world. Just like, I don't know who said it, maybe St. John Browning. Somebody said, it'll only take 10 holy priests to change the face of the world. And so that opportunity is latent in every priest. And so we need you to pray for us. Because your prayers give the light to the priests and to the bishops and to the popes so that we can get onto the right course. Stephen, the deacon, he was a man of great prayer. If it wasn't for the prayers of St. Stephen, would we have a St. Paul? Remember that? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't hold this sin against them. And then Paul becomes the doctor of the Gentiles. And so it's on you to pray for us clergy to make this church holy again. And so you have control. That's a good thing, to have that control, to get calluses on your knees. And if you can't get on your knees anymore, you can get calluses on your hands. So now I'm going to go on. What's a story in the Old Testament of reverence? It's a beautiful story. King Jehoshaphat was told by the scout, he's greatly outnumbered. He went white. He put his face on the ground, and he prayed, and he was inspired. And God told him, have one of the Levites preach to the men before the battle. And so that Levite put his face on the ground and prayed. You see, the best things in the church start with prayer. They start with contemplation. And so he preached to the men. He said, men of Israel, when we fight, God will fight this battle for us. So what did King Jehoshaphat do? He put the men, the singing men, in the vanguard. What does that mean, Father Carney? He put the men that sung, usually they're in the rear guard, he put them on the front lines, and they advanced chanting the praises of God. Dixie Domino Domino Meo Sede on Dextris Meis. But it was in Hebrew. And what does that look like in the church today? The bishops and the canons going to the cathedrals and chanting the psalms. Where does that happen? In the USA, zero. And so I pray the chaplain of the Holy Face that we get back the bishops and the canons. The canons are diocesan priests, like I'm a diocesan priest, that are attached to the cathedrals, and they're the ones in charge of making the liturgies beautiful. And guess what? When we worship God, we're practicing for heaven, because we're going to worship God for eternity if we get there. So we need to start practicing worshiping God and getting the sanctuary straightened up. Then it's all over for the enemy. and they'll convert and they'll thank us, because they're not going to get to heaven if we don't pray. And think of Peter. Peter denied Christ 3 times, and Jesus looked at him with a face of love, and Peter wept. And if it wasn't for the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary, would we have a Saint Peter? And the rest of his life, when he thought about denying Christ 3 times, he cried and he cried that some authors say he had rivets in his cheeks. How beautiful, what a man he was to overcome his sin. He didn't have remorse like Judas, but he had contrition, tears. Contrition, tristes with tears. Beautiful. But what about today? If it wasn't for the prayers of the Catholics in this room, would we not have the conversion, fill in the blank? All the people that have left the church in our families, the hierarchy, for the scandals, for the priesthood to be an honorable place again. My grandparents used to say how great it was to be a priest. Now, you don't hear that as much because of the scandal. So we have a lot of work to do. And what are the ends of sacrifice? There are 4 of them: petition, thanksgiving, adoration, and reparation. And devotion to the Holy Face, as given by Jesus Christ, is about reparation. Because the church is going through the Passion. And Archbishop Fulton Sheen would talk about how there's 4 times the church has gone through the Passion, and this is the 4th time, every 500 years or so. And by the way, one of the men that was on the canonization process for Archbishop Sheen bought me this Ferriola, so I'm wearing it in honor of Archbishop Fulton Sheen. This is the first time I'm doing it publicly, so... thank you. Archbishop Sultan Singh, please pray for us. We hope that you become a saint. But I'm all about the diocesan priests becoming on fire with a renewal. If the diocesan priests are holy, imagine what would happen, because most priests are diocesan priests. That's, the world is full of us. So we need your prayers to become holy. So reparation is to repair the damage between God and our human family. And how many times is the face of God mentioned in scriptures? Think about it. 840 times. And his countenance is mentioned 101 times. So the face of God is very important. In fact, when Saint Therese of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face would read the psalm, she would say, it's as if every other page would jump out with me with devotion to his face. So this devotion is really starting to take off. And so what are the objects of the Holy Face of Jesus? There's many of them, but I like to point out 3. So this is multiple choice. So now you need to wake up, because you're going to get a little test here. So I'm going to give you the 3 options. The Veil of Veronica, number 1. Number 2, the Shroud of Tours. Number 3, the Veil of Montepello. So what is the object of the devotion to the Holy Face as the arch-confraternity of the Holy Face? If you think it's the Veil of Veronica, raise your hand. Okay, put them down. If you think it is the Shroud of Turin, raise your hand. Okay, put them down. If you think it's the Veil of Montepello, raise your hand. Okay, great. And those that you didn't raise your hand, you can't win. So, the answer is it's the Veil of Veronica. And you see, this devotion is still so unknown that we don't even know that answer. So, Veronica, her name is also thought to be Serapha, because Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, who I just blessed, that's her namesake there this evening, she was that great penitent and mystic that saw visions, and she saw that Veronica was named Serapha. And Veronica means true icon. It's a Latin, it's a Greek Latinized word, veri, which is truth, ikon, which is face, and icon, so it's changed into Latin, Veronica. 6th station of the cross. It was a custom for women to wear a veil and to give it to their friends when they were traveling to wipe off the sweat and the dust from the desert. But some authors say that she was carrying a second veil on her left arm, and she lived on the Via Crucis, the way of the cross, and She met Jesus and broke through the mob to console his face, and they looked at each other with love. Remember the look that Jesus gave to Peter? It wounded him to conversion. And so she gave that veil to him, and he wiped his face, and he left his image miraculously on it. And that's where we get the devotion to the sixth station of the cross. So, there was a problem. The emperor, Tiberius Augustus, was suffering from a malady, some say leprosy. And he heard that Jesus was curing people. So Veronica saw the ambassadors that came, and she said, if the emperor sees this veil, he'll be healed. And so she went up there, showed the veil. He was healed on the spot. Veronica deeded the veil of Veronica to St. Pope Clement I. That would be the third successor of St. Peter, and all the popes have owned it since then. And now it's in the pillar of the great pillar that holds up the cupola of St. Peter's Basilica. It's on the second level. I've never seen it yet. I hope to see it someday. So now let's go fast forward to 608, Pope Boniface IV. I'm just skimming the surface. There's so much history in here. It's so rich. We have Pope Boniface wanted to make the area around the Pantheon more Catholic, so he converted the Pantheon, which was a pagan temple, also nicknamed the Rotunda because it was a circle. It had a hole in the middle where the light would come in. And he converted it by taking wagon loads of relics from the catacombs. And these were going through the streets among clapping and applauding Romans. I wish I was there. Would have been fun to see all that, the victory of the martyrs. And then he decorated the church with these relics, and he displayed the veil of Veronica here. And this was done on May the 13th. So hold that thought for a minute. I'll get to that in a minute. And every year on May the 13th, on the anniversary of the dedication, they would take out the veil of Veronica for at least 100 years to invoke the pardon and protection from God and as a remedy against calamities and storms. So hold that thought. Now let's go to 1843. Fast forward. Rapidly, about 1,200 years, we have this humble nun called Sister Marie de Saint-Pierre. She wanted to become a Carmelite, but there was no room in the Carmel close to where she lived. And so on November 11th, she asked Saint Martin to intercede for her so that she could become a Carmelite. And she said, even if it be in Tours, and she didn't even know if there was a Carmel in Tours. And so her spiritual director was told that, and her spiritual director told the Mother Superior in Tours, and Mother Superior said, yes, there will be an opening, but she's going to have to wait 1 year. And so she left the world, remember, November 11th, she went to the relics, and November 11th, a year later, is exactly the date when she left the world to enter into the Carmel there. And I'm going to just tell you now, because I don't have enough time, but that's my birthday. And there's more to it. Venerable Leo Pont is the other half of that. And so Jesus began to appear to her and give her intellectual visions, which are the highest visions that can be received, theologians say, and St. Padre Pio used to receive them. That's being able to see things not with your eyes or hear things with your ears, but to have intellectually, which is more clear. It's sort of like one of the saints said, if you have a piece of gold in your hand and you compare it to all the jewelry in heaven, it looks like a piece of coal instead of a piece of gold. Because heaven things are so much more pure and pristine. And so Jesus began to tell Sister Mary St. Peter that he wanted to start this association that would fight against the scourge of revolutionary men. Jesus said, are you ready for the most beautiful work under the sun? Sister Mary St. Peter said that our Lord, quote, communicated to me that this time he would use as the instruments of punishment, not the elements, but the mouths of revolutionary men. And so that was very important to me when I was reading this in around 2020 when our church is locked up. God permits our religion to be taken away from us if we don't care. And so what I want to burn in your minds, what I want you to take home is this, that God is punishing us with the mouths of revolutionary men. And this is biblical. Because in Leviticus, Jesus or God said, I will set my face against you and you shall fall underneath the sword of the enemy. And so we cannot complain anymore and say, it's the bishop's fault, it's the pope's fault, it's somebody else's fault. No, it's our fault because we're not interceding. Remember, if it wasn't for the prayers of St. Stephen, would we have a St. Paul? If it wasn't for the prayers of St. Mary, would we not have a St. Peter? Peter was converted. He was our first pope. And this is another thing, too, that I talk about. How was our hierarchy for the first 24 hours? Let's take a look at that really quickly. There were ordained bishops at the Last Supper. Jesus told his favorite three, come and pray for 1 hour. They all fell asleep. Then one of them traded him. Of course, I have those out of order. And then the other one, oh yeah, then the one that was supposed to be the leader denied him 3 times. Not very good. And then when our Lord was going to be, when he was crucified, at the moment of his great victory, there was only 1 out of 12. So in the first 24 hours, the hierarchy wasn't doing very good. But by the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the nascent church, 11 of those 12 became saints. 11 of those 12 became martyrs. And St. John would have been a martyr, but they put him in boiling water, and he came out like it was a bath. So he's really considered a martyr. So our Lord said, quote, Satan will use every means in his power to eliminate this work, like Cedar Rapids, where I was driving yesterday. And it'll happen to you if you are drawn to this, but it gets to be a little bit fun because you know God is on your side. He's permitting evil for a greater good. Jesus said this, Sister Mary St. Peter, quote, reparation to his holy face is the highest devotion. Let that sink in. I won't comment. Our Lord said the Sacred Heart and that of his mother should never be separated. He promises this devotion will, quote, defeat communism and bring salvation to the masses. Jesus said, oh, that I wish that there would be Veronicas who would break through the mob to console my face. So we need to break through the church doors getting closed and break through them taking away our priest by being like Veronica and going to the face of Jesus and consoling him. Miracles will happen, he promises. And when people practice devotion, Jesus said, it's as if they were there with Veronica. So you get the same merits because God is outside of space and time as being there with her. And then for the male counterpart, Jesus said, I wish there would be more dismisses. What did Dismas do? He was a robber. That's why he was crucified. But St. John Chrysostom said that he probably had more faith than the patriarchs, Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. They saw the glory of God and had faith, but Dismas saw a man that looked like a leper dying on a cross, and he made an act of faith and made reparation. He stood up for Jesus, and he, for doing that, was received in these words, you will be with me today in paradise. So all of us men that are sinners, let's get over it, go to confession, and move on with our lives and fight to make reparation. And at the foot of the cross, that's the best time we can make reparation because that's testing our soul. It's testing the very marrow of are we with Christ or against him? Are we ashamed of him or are we going to make reparation for him? Men, this is a battle cry. I want you to be part of the million people. I love being up here. Standing up for God. And one part of the novena, there's a novena of the Holy Face. It's just, I love it. The Manual of the Holy Face, I recommend you get that. It's on our website, the League of St. Martin. But there was the exchange between Pilate and the high priest and his elder priest, and they were bickering. And then there was a pause, but there was no one to stand up to defend Jesus. And so we can do that in these times when they blaspheme him constantly. Jesus said you need to cross swords with the communists who were the sworn enemies of Christ and the church. And that's why the Chapel of the Holy Face, I think, is like a minor exorcism for lay people. It's a round of ammunition against communism. And the Golden Arrow Prayer makes reparation for the blasphemous poison arrows of blasphemy by saying a sweet prayer. May the most holy, most adorable name of God be ever praised, etc., that wounds the Sacred Heart sweetly. Jesus told Sister Mary St. Peter, and Sister Mary St. Peter said this, quote, then he gave me the wonderful light on the sublimity of this association and the preference which he esteems it more than all the others established in the church because of its object, to make reparation for all the outrages offered against the divinity by the blasphemy and by profanation of Sunday. Okay, friends, there's so many deviations. Whenever there's true devotion like Fatima, there was like 100 other false apparitions that happened. So we have to be men and women of the interior life to see through those things. Because this devotion, people are making up things about it to get people off course. And so if we have an interior life, that's not going to happen to us. And this devotion is leading many of the clients that I have seen come into it, into a deep interior life. And you have to be generous with an interior life because it's hard work, but the payoff is phenomenal. So remember that May 13th? I told you to hold that thought. Here's the connection. Why did Our Lady of Fatima appear to the children on May the 13th for the first time? Well, the Mother of God has a lot on her mind. But my thought is this. She wanted to stress the importance of the veil of Veronica and how it's going to make reparation against world revolution. That's epic. Okay, so now let's go away from Sister Mary St. Peter. She received many more revelations between 1843 and 1848. And by the way, the Communist Manifesto came out in 1848. And it was just a philosophy then. But it wasn't until the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 that communism went from a philosophy to becoming a force multiplier of evil. It's the worst thing that humanity has ever seen. I'll tell you why in just a second. So in 1849, there were some miracles in Rome. There was a miracle in Rome that happened. The Secretary of the State was killed in cold blood by the Freemasons. And Pope Blessed Pius IX feared for his life. And so he exiled himself into Gaeta, a city outside of Rome. And he demanded that all the churches of Rome make reparation because there was an attack on the state. And this was the prime minister of the civil government. The Pope was working closely with him to try to keep the papal states, but they murdered him. And we lost the papal states, and we lost a lot of power. Because when you get into the banking system, it's a lot more easier to funnel out the money out of our pockets. It's hard to take land because you've got to fight for it. But they can just do transactions to take away Peter's pence and all our money. And so we don't give as much as we would. I know that for a fact of people that don't give at home. And so the canons of St. Peter's decided to bring the Veil of Veronica out for 3 days, which was unheard of. And on the third day, for 3 hours, a miracle happened. There was a cloth that was hanging in front of it that was blank to protect it from the elements. And the lines of a man that was suffering greatly appeared on there, and there was a light coming from it. And artist went up there and drew it furiously because they didn't know how long they had. Then the canons were looking at it, and they were moving from place to place, and they saw it was a miracle. They asked the Vatican notary to come. He saw it and notarized it. They rang the bells. And when you ring the bells in 1849, out of the time, the Italians were like, is the Pope dead? Let's go. And so people came, and they saw this miracle as it was happening. It was a talk of Rome for months. Has anyone heard of that story before I talked about it? See, where's our history? Some people, yeah. Or La Salette, yeah. So what happened is that there were copies of the Veil of Veronica, like this one here, that were printed on linen or silk, and they were sent abroad to Europe. And so Venerable Leo de Pont comes into the picture. So who is Venerable Leo de Pont? He grew up in Martinique, so Martin. His wife was dying, and she said on her deathbed, her wish was, can you have our daughter taught by the Ursulines in Tours just like I was? And so he moves to Tours. He becomes the holy man of Tours because he goes around to all the churches and prays, and even the demolished churches that were demolished after the French Revolution, he prays there. And he found the relics of St. Martin. You see, November 11th, my birthday, the League of St. Martin. The contemplative life really starts to give the fruits for the future triumph of the Immaculate Heart, the triumph of the Catholic Church. I want those bishops and canons to start praising God in the cathedrals like we used to do. We've never done it in America, but in Europe, they used to have canons all over. Imagine going to these beautiful liturgies where these men spend hours to get them down. The pontifical liturgies are so complicated, but that's why when Muslims or when pagans would see the divine liturgies done correctly, they would say, this is like a foretaste of heaven. I want to convert. Okay, so Venerable Leo Pont gets one of these images, and he puts a lamp burning oil day and night. And he's a friend of Sister Mary St. Peter, and he receives these revelations, and he starts to become the greatest promoter of the devotion to the Holy Face. And so people, since he was the holy man of Tours, would come up to him and ask for cures. And so he would give them the oil. They would say the prayers that were given to Sister Mary St. Peter, like there's the Litany of the Holy Face, there's the Golden Era Prayer. There's a whole manual of prayers to the Holy Face. And the First Lady rubbed the oil on her eyes because they were hurting so bad, and then it cured her instantly. A young man came in with crutches, and they prayed. He put the oil where he was crippled, and then he got rid of the crutch, started running around with his friends. And this happened over and over again, and there were 6,000 to 10,000 certified miracles. That's epic for a layman. St. Vincent Ferrer would perform somewhere up to those numbers. There were only 858 miracles approved by the cause of canonization for St. Vincent Ferrer. But think about him. When he would preach, he had the gift of tongues. He wouldn't need one of these, but 10,000 people outside could hear him. And he would preach his dialect, and people in different dialects could understand it because the Holy Spirit would translate it, and people in different languages could hear him in their own language. They would have someone carry a miracle bell that would ring every time a miracle happened. It happened about 3 times a day on average. One time his superior said, stop performing miracles. So he was obedient. And so he was walking by a scaffolding, and a man began to fall. And he said, wait. And he was floating in the air. He said, I got to ask my superior for permission to perform a miracle. So he went and got the permission, and then he landed slowly. This is medieval Catholicism. Why does the world hate it? Because the world hates Jesus Christ. But we're Catholic. This is our heritage. Legend means you should read it. Doesn't mean it's fake or a fable. We need to open up ourselves to history. So Venerable Leo Pont performs, God performs 6,000 to 10,000 miracles through him as a layman. I read that and I thought, wow, this has such great potential. And remember, I was an investment analyst. I had to look for small companies that had great potential, and I saw this devotion. I used those financial experiences. Like, this has great potential. Buy low, sell high. No one's in this yet, so let's get in it now and make the whole world want it. And then when you get in at the beginning, look. What happens? God knows the laws of investments. Sister Mary St. Pierre was told by the secretary of the archbishop never again to speak about this devotion, so she was obedient. And then 30 years later, a new archbishop came and opened up the files. He gave the file to the Benedicts of Salem, and they saw this is dogmatically correct. And then the archbishop started to print them. Venerable Leo Pont dies in 1876, and so the archbishop had to make this group of priests that would take care of the pilgrimage, because on some Saturdays there would be up to 300 people that come to his house. Imagine that happening at your house when you go home tonight. See? A layman. My dad says, there's so many examples, Father, for religious and priests to be saints, but what about laymen? I said, Dad, this is your man. He's only a venerable. Let's pray that he become a saint. And so, in 1884, the Confraternity of the Holy Face was started. They would pray monthly the prayers from Sister Mary St. Peter. And then in 1885, it was proposed to Pope Leo XIII, to make this into an arch-confraternity, which should have taken 10 years. He paused, and he had a thought that came into his mind, and we don't know what that was, but was it like the thought of the devil having 100 years when he made the St. Michael the Archangel prayer? He said, this confraternity will not only be for France, but for the whole world, and he made it an arch confraternity in an instant. And then in 1885, one of the first members to sign up was St. Therese of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face. So that right there is going to lock in a lot of you. I'm in sales. I'm not a bishop. I don't administrate. I just sell things. And I want you all to come into this thing and bring a lot of people with you and bring people with you to heaven. So what are we fighting? What does this devotion fight? It fights communism. And the philosophers of communism are Marx, Engels, and Hegel. President Reagan said this about communism. Communism is neither an economic or political system. It's a form of insanity. Communism are the quintessential traitors of the Catholic Church. It's always the inside job that gets you, right? Think of the Trojan horse. What's their method? The Hegelian dialect, thesis, antithesis. They put a problem in a society, and it's really not the problem they're after. And they create a solution, but that's the problem they want everyone to go to. So think COVID shot, the stuff like that, that kind of stuff. I know that might hurt some people, but the truth is the truth. And that's their game book plan. And so we have to know the enemy to fight it. And you don't have to be really smart. You just have to be a holy person. And so the Soviet Union made 10 commandments, just like God gave us the 10 commandments to follow him. What about the Soviet Union? Well, I'll tell you two of them. First, never forget that the clergy is the most powerful enemy to the communist state. When evil does things, they project. And the truth is, priests are the most powerful men in the world. And if communists can propagate the lie that we are evil people, they're going to win. But if we put priests where they belong, they can bring God onto the altar and they can move him around. That's the highest power of any man. And if the communists can get rid of priests, then they can get rid of your faith and your children's faith and your grandchildren's faith. But that's not all. They had another commandment. Convince your friends not to have any contact with priests. Why are they so against the priests? Because the devil has got the strings on the leaders of communism. So what are the fruits of communism? Russia, how many people died for communism? 25 million, conservative number. For other places, Vietnam, Cambodia, South America, Central America, 10 million. How about China? This is the scary one. 65 million. What are the fruits of communism? Mao was the first leader of communism. Towards the end of his life, he never wanted to tell anyone where he was at because he was afraid of getting assassinated and he had to get a shot every night to go to sleep. What's the point? If that's the goal, it just kills people. It's a force multiplier of evil. So my advice is this. I think you must have a true devotion to Mary in order to have a true devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus, because it's through Mary to Jesus. It was through Mary that Jesus came to us. And it will be through Mary that Jesus will come back to us. And so in this time of the deluge of sin, we have to be consecrated as slaves of Mary. I was consecrated when I was 25. I'm 49 now. It changed my life forever. And this devotion is just amplifying that consecration. Because it's a consecration to Jesus through Mary, and there's a consecration to the Holy Face of Jesus that I have written by Tan. And Tan sent me an email saying, "Father Carney, the devil hates your book." I'm like, yes, that's a good sign. And that book has to be republished because there's been 5 different technical things that have happened between the printers and publishers. It's in my bishop's office again. But I'm taking the consecration that the Archbishop of Tours approved in 1887, there's 2 of them, and making a 33-day preparation, because men that love the traditional Latin Mass, they're leading families and leading apostolates, they're starting to realize they can take away our priests, they can take away our Mass, they can take away our churches, but they can't take away our interior life. And so when you're investments, you want to invest in something that you know is solid. And that's the interior life. This is what Mother Agnes said to St. Therese of Lisieux. Quote, "However tender was her devotion to the Child Jesus, it cannot be compared to the devotion which she had for the Holy Face." And so I'm coming close to the end. How do you practice this devotion? There are six conditions. Number one, enroll. Number two, receive the enrollment papers. Number three, every day, say, O Lord, show us thy face and we shall be saved. A pater, an Ave Maria, and a Gloria. Number four, wear an effigy of the Holy Face. Number five, pray this devotion or propagate it by prayer, writing, or preaching. And number six, go to the monthly meetings. And so, I teased you a little bit about a woman named Sister Wilhelmina. Well, Sister Wilhelmina, I was her chaplain for the last 6 years of her life. And the nuns wanted to honor her as being a co-founder by taking her out of her grave and putting her in the altar. The Benedicts of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, in Gower, Missouri, the Latin Mass. And so when they opened up her grave, they found her body intact, incorrupt. And there's only three other incorrupts I know in the United States, unless somebody, maybe the fathers, can tell me. St. John Neumann, Redemptorist Bishop. St. Rose Philippine Duchenne's, and there's a Bishop Miles. He's not a saint yet. He founded a diocese in Tennessee or somewhere around there. And so there's Sister Wilhelmina. And so what's the point, Father Carney? Why are you bringing her up? She stood for three things, the traditional Latin Mass, the traditional habit, and she was a member of the Confraternity of the Holy Face. That amplifies this big time. God's pointing to her and say, follow her. Follow Sister Wilhelmina. Okay. We are in a mystical combat. Help me to get 1 million to join the ranks of the Holy Face confraternities. I was inspired by this number because I read this beautiful book called The Secret of the Holy Rosary. Who's read it? Raise your hand. St. Louis de Montfort. You need to read that book. Don't let it be a secret anymore. The rosary is powerful. Many of you probably pray it. And he had a chapter in there, Blessed Alan de la Rocha. He was not being a good Dominican. The Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to him and said, you've not been a good boy, but here's a lock of my hair. Put it around your neck and put this ring on you. Now preach the rosary. And for the rest of his life, he preached the rosary. And he had 100,000 people enroll in the Confraternity of the Rosary before he died in 1475. I thought, wow, if a priest can get 100,000 people to enroll in a confraternity and have BL in front of his name, I want to be like that. I got this arch confraternity. I'll just get 1 million people. And maybe they'll put something in front of my name instead of FR. Maybe it'll be ST, BL. Maybe it'll be V. By the way, Venerable Father Emil Capon, pray for us. He was just elevated. He's a diocesan priest of Wichita, where I'm from. And guess what? God wants all of you to have ST in front of your name more than you want it. It's not prideful to want to become holy, because holiness means to be set apart from the world and to be with God. So help me through this devotion. By the conversion of many sinners is one of the promises. Another promise, their faces will shine with a particular radiance in heaven. So just think of that. Those that are enrolled, your faces are going to shine with a different radiance in heaven than if you didn't enroll. So sign up. Number three, there's a promise of final perseverance. That is a virtue, that is a thing you can never merit. That's only comes when you die in the state of grace. But you can pray for that. And people that are truly devoted to this, good chance they're going to have final perseverance. And Jesus promised that they would work many miracles. Venerable Ida Pont, up to 10,000 miracles for a layman. This has great potential. So we are the League of St. Martin. My bishop gave me permission to start this Pious Association. And we're just coaching people to start from the ground up these prayer groups, to pray once a month and to do the six conditions all together. Because once we start praying, then God starts to take over. The way we first started, my mom and my dad and my aunt were complaining. Father, they're goofing off in the sanctuary. I said, stop your belly aching. Let's do something about it. Let's pray for reverence. We started a group. And then I said, let's get this Holy Face in there. And that went from one group, and now we're over 100. All over the U.S., there's other places. Father, what can I do? Cross swords with the enemies of God. Become a member of the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face. And I want to end with this. There are three special patrons, but the main patron is St. Peter. Remember the torrents of crying and the rivets in his cheeks? But the three special patrons are St. Michael, St. Martin, and St. Louis. They're all military. St. Martin, Cordes Deus, his very name is reparation. Who is likened to God when the wretches blaspheme God? He had the generosity to stand up for him and hurl them out of heaven. And he was in the second from the lowest choir of angels. The little guys God's looking for. St. Martin, of course, that's my birthday. He was a Roman soldier. He said, I will not fight for the emperor more. I will fight for Jesus Christ. He became an exorcist, and then he became a bishop by popular clamain. He was trying to hide, and the geese started quacking, and then they held him up. We want Martin for bishop. And he was only a deacon, I think, or a priest. And then the bishops looked at him with all his holes in his habit, and the people had, okay, we give up. You win. So he became a bishop, and that's where this devotion was given, was when in his see of Tours, France. And then St. Louis, that great layman, he led the Seventh Crusade. And he loved going to the Mass multiple times a day. I wish I could do that. I wish that I lived in a canons with a bishop where we had Masses going on throughout the morning. He would go to Mass twice a day, three times a day, four times a day, five, six, all in the morning. And his court would say, why are you never here? And I think it's because he thought Christ rules France. And when he was the ruler of France, it was the most prosperous and peaceful it's ever been. And he said, you wouldn't complain if I would come and go fox hunting or hawking with you, would you? But they complained because it would go to Mass. So it's typical politics. In conclusion, pray for me. And I want to close with a closing prayer. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most incomprehensible, and ineffable name of God be forever praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and in the hells, by all the creatures of God, and by the sacred heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen. And I'll give you my blessing if you want to stand or kneel, or you can stay sitting, whatever you want to do. Sit nomen Domini benedictum, ex hoc nunc usque in saeculum. Domine exaudi ratione meam, et clamor meus a te veniat. Dominus vobiscum. Benedictio Domini potentis, patris, et filii spiritus sancti, scendit super, vos et maniat semper. Amen.